A Weekend with Jason Dacey replay from Money FM 89.3.
You're Money FM with me, Jason Dacey, in the company of Neil Humphreys, award-winning author. And Neil, you know, last week we were talking about death and how both of us have been affected by sudden deaths in our family. We, of course, this was related to a story that we covered about a Malaysian football player, actually an import player, who was hit by lightning 3 years ago in his father's fight for justice. And I thought it would be a good opportunity to introduce someone who's written about death, Margaret Rice, who's a former colleague of mine from the Sydney Morning Herald many years ago, almost 40 years ago. She's on the line from Sydney, Australia, and she's written a new book called A Good Death. And Margaret, can you hear us on Money FM?
I can, yes. Thank you, Jason.
Welcome. Look, I'll let your fellow author, Neil Humphreys, pose the first question to you as we look at a compassionate and practical guide to prepare for the end of your life.
Yes, good morning, Margaret. I mean, first things first, I'll just say that, as Jason mentioned, I had a very unfortunate, unexpected and extremely sudden death in my family last year that took us all by surprise. Mm. So I have become very interested in this subject. And I know you have a personal experience yourself with your mother. So maybe to set it up for our audience in Singapore, what was, inspiration is the wrong word, but what was the motivation for you coming up with this guide first?
In a funny kind of way, inspiration is the right word, because I watched as Mum was slowly dying, and she died an appropriate death in old age. And I realised there were so many things about this very natural process that we were going through that we just didn't understand, because we've become an urban, sophisticated society, a bit detached from death. And Mum knew about my interest, and she was quite happy for me to take notes and ask questions, and then it really developed from there. But I should say, Neil, that I developed an affinity completely with the style of death that you're describing, because 8 weeks after Mum died, just after I had resigned from my newspaper job to write this book, my brother, my dear brother Julian, was killed instantly in a motorcycle accident, completely unexpectedly. Mm. So it gave me a second context, if you like, a different set of eyes to look at the issue of death and grief through. And one thing that you can be sure of for all of us is the further we progress through life, the more likely we are to have exposure to both of these styles of death.
Yeah, Margaret, and I think as I shared with you when we caught up a couple of years ago after a long time, you know, I lost my father to a sudden death when I was a teenager, just before we worked together as journalists at the Sydney Morning Herald, you know, almost 40 years ago.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, and so this was something that was a very confronting experience for me as a teenager, and having to deal with other people asking, you know, what happened and, you know, where is he? And as a teenager, it was very difficult. And then a few years later, one of my ex-girlfriends, who was my first serious girlfriend, she died suddenly at the age of 21. And I remember attending her funeral. And again, this was something that I had to deal with. So perhaps you could put into perspective, you know, what you've done with this book and what you hope it will bring to people who will read it.
Well, just to go back to the circumstance where you were a young man who had lost your father, when my brother died, his young sons were only 14 and 17. So one of the things that I've done in the book is to interview Evan, who's now closer to 19, probably even a bit older, my maths isn't that good. And I asked him, you know, what did that feel like? And of course, despite the fact that these are everyday experiences for most of us, we don't have very many opportunities to share our deep feelings and our deep experiences. If you're sitting on a bus or a train and you've just recently suffered a bereavement, there's nothing to signal to the people around you what it is that you're going through. And I thought it would be worthwhile lifting the lid on all of that a bit, just explaining to people how others feel. Say, for example, through interview, asking a young man what it felt like, what it feels like to lose your father. And, of course, we can talk about the abstract and the longer-term things, but what does it feel like in the moment? And I think if we understand each other's experiences a bit more, we can have a bit more empathy. But not only that, apart from the empathy, we can actually build up a little bit more of an understanding and a reflection upon our own death and mortality.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very interesting point about the empathy, because when my relative died last year in a car accident, there's a lot of, and I'm sure you've come across this in your research, there was so much repressed rage and anger, sometimes not repressed, sometimes it would manifest itself, you know, the why him, why now, it's so unfair, nobody seems to understand, nobody seems to care. And that's where I think, I'm guessing, you know, communication is so important on both sides. On the one hand, you need to not express rage, but express why you feel anger so that maybe other people might understand and empathize a little more.
I think that's such an important point. In fact, when my brother died suddenly in his motorcycle accident, I was very, very angry. And I didn't even acknowledge that. I now look back and I call it my grief anger, because it was a very particular style of anger associated with grief. And part of it was about developing acceptance. There was a rage within me. Why him? Why now? Why at this point in his life? And of course, it doesn't matter at what point in the life of the person it is that they die. Your immediate reaction is, well, why now? This was a moment when we needed him so much. His children needed him so much. I mean, I was angry. And to be frank, I was angry with him, you know, angry that he'd done this to his family, not so much to me, but his children. But you can't be angry with the dead. So I took it out on the punching bag beside me, my poor husband. So suddenly I was very, very angry with him. And it took me a lot to unravel all of that and to go, wait a second, am I really angry with my dear husband, Michael? Or if not, am I angry with Julian? Or what is this all about? So I explore quite a bit of that in the book too, because I want the reader to understand that angry reaction that the person has. And I've got a friend whose brother just recently suicided, and I was walking with her with our usual group, and she was quite clipped and angry about the little things that they were doing. And I was able to explain to the others, well, actually, that's not a surprising reaction. It's pretty normal. But we pretend that these things aren't happening. We say people have got to have a period of grief. This is particularly so in Australia, a period of grief, and then stitch themselves all up and go about their business. Mm. And, of course, nothing could be further from the truth when you're dealing with the realities of life.
With author and journalist Margaret Rice discussing her new book, A Good Death. You know, Margaret, when I think about my situation and my dad, you know, dying suddenly when I was 15 years of age, and, you know, in 1977, it's a long time ago, I realized that I wasn't angry. I didn't suffer the anger at all. I was more just sad. But what helped me get through it was just being grateful for the time that we did spend together and remembering what an inspiration he was to me. Luckily, I had a very good relationship with him. And I think that helped, that we were very close. I think it must be harder if you aren't close to that person, or you've got a bad, you know, relationship, or you're not on good terms. So for me, it took a long time to get over it because we were so close, and it did affect every relationship that I had, a close relationship that I had in the future, because you're always worried you're going to lose someone close to you. But it wasn't anger. So it's interesting how different people react in different ways.
That's right. And in fact, there's some interesting observations, I suppose, that, well, certainly the people that I talked with, because I interviewed many people for my book, there are lots of different reactions that people have. But one of the things that I find fascinating is that if a person is able, and I'm not sure exactly how it played out for you, Jason, but if a person has the opportunity to say goodbye or to set their affairs in order, there can be resolution in relationships with people where there has been estrangement. Now, that didn't happen to you. You were close to your father. But a lot of people have, as they have in life, when somebody's approaching death, they have unfinished business with them. Sometimes the person themselves has unfinished emotional business. And that's where we can really turn to the great, if you like, philosophers and really take advantage of the great even theologies of our time. It is worthwhile, in a funny kind of way, to prepare for a good death by having a good life. Stitch up those broken relationships if you can, if it's appropriate. Make room for forgiveness, because that will actually make your passing easier. So there's a fascinating set of things that I learned through researching the book that were more really about life. And I think that's something that people who are intimately involved with the death businesses, like funeral directors and doctors and palliative care nurses, they understand this, but the rest of us don't see that quite so easily.
And do you think that's because it is such a harrowing subject that we do try to push it away, and there is an element of death denial? And so much so that when it does happen, this is why your book is great, by the way, so that when it does happen, we often don't know how to respond, and we don't know whether to say the right thing, the wrong thing, to say nothing. So, I mean, because there's that death denial, there isn't a solution. So what should or shouldn't we say or do to people who have lost loved ones suddenly or in any way?
Well, it's really interesting. Just being there. There's a very simple thing, which it's a concept we've lost sight of, just accompanying, just bearing witness. I interviewed a beautiful father for the book who said he didn't want anybody to say anything to him particularly, but the people he treasured were the people who were able to be in the space with him. Now, because in our case we'd suffered a double tragedy, the death of our mother in 1 week, and then 8 weeks later, the death of our brother, there were lots of people who avoided us. They would see me, I would see them down the street, and they would turn the corner and run, because they were afraid that they would have the wrong reaction to me.
Exactly.
Now, I'm an extrovert, so for me, it mattered that people would just even acknowledge. And sometimes, as I say in the book, sometimes the best thing to do is just to open your hands and say, I don't know what to say to you.
Yeah.
And we don't need to pretend we know or understand. The opportunity for us in these moments of searing grief for those around us is to say, look, I don't know what you're going through, but I am here for you. And in fact, that is a message, a key message of the book, about not just those who are grieving, but those who are dying. I don't know what this journey is like for you. You're 2 days away from dying, but I will sit here at the bedside with you. And sometimes it's a matter of reversing what we say in our culture. In our culture, we say, oh, don't just sit there, do something. But actually, it's more about the reverse in these circumstances, extreme grief or closeness to death. Instead, try to tell yourself to say, oh, you know, don't do anything. Just sit there. Just be there.
Just be there.
Yeah. I mean, Margaret, we're just about out of time, but I can relate 100% to, you know, your experience, because I remember when it happened to me, you know, people would avoid our family, people who had been friends, you know, for years. But you always remember the people that stood by you. And there was another good friend of mine who grew up in our same area who lost his dad a few months before. And they were quite affluent, and they had I remember the mum drove a Mercedes, you know, convertible car. And it happened just before Christmas when my dad died in 1977. And I remember they took us in for Christmas, and they were so nice to us. And it really got us through a difficult, difficult time. And I think you're right, 100%. You don't have to say anything, just be there, and just even say, as you've said, you know, I don't know what to say, but I feel sorry. You know, people aren't expecting you to give any solution to their problem. I think that's why people are scared.
Mm.
So finally, how can we find out about getting your book? It's A Good Death, A Compassionate and Practical Guide to Prepare for the End of Life, book by Margaret Rice. It is available via Book Depository on Murdoch Books. There are many ways online that you can buy it, right?
That's true. For your readers in Singapore, the best way probably is to buy it online. There's a number of different mechanisms, Book Depository, Booktopia. You can go into Dimmicks online. You can even go to Murdoch online and follow their threads and suggestions. But, you know, it's great if people can talk about this subject more. So thank you very much for the opportunity to share these thoughts.
Yes,
Jason, and
Neil. It's great to have my former colleague from the City Morning Herald almost 40 years ago, and the message, I think, Margaret...
You make
and,
us sound very old.
Yes, well, we are old, but I think the message is enjoy life, hug the people that you love, and make the most of it.
And be there for each other.
Be there, yeah. Don't be on your social media. Don't be procrastinating, because I remember friends have procrastinated and missed out, friends who have died. You know, so do it in the moment.
Yes.
So, Margaret Rice, thank you so much for joining us from Sydney, Australia. And I know this is a very important book, and we'll speak to you again soon, hopefully.
Thanks, Margaret.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Neil.